Well, I have this beautiful icon of Christ the King, and I left it at home. I was going to bring it for the children's sermon, and so I was thrilled to see this beautiful carving of Jesus the King in our sacristy this morning. But today's a special day for me because 21 years ago, it was a cold, snowy day in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and on Christ the King Sunday, I was ordained a priest. Thank you. It was obviously a very moving moment in my life, but ever since then, I have really held a special place in my heart for this particular feast day, this celebration in the life of the church of Christ the King. And it is a bit of an unusual holy day. It's actually a little newer on the calendar. It starts from back in 1925, right? And it's a day, it was right on the heels of World War I, and it was a day that the church just recognized we had a need. We needed to proclaim Jesus as King. And this was in the face of secularism and ultra-nationalism. It was a reminder that our commitment, our allegiance, our loyalties ought to be centered not in nation or political loyalties, but in Christ, right? The Prince of Peace. And so it's a beautiful reminder, I think. And today's sermon, I'm sort of building a little bit of a series because I wanna look back to November 10th and the way we focused that day on this call to put our trust and faith in God, right? Not in rulers, not in people, earthly powers, or systems. And then last Sunday, Neil reminded us to keep our hope, of course, centered as well on God. And so today, I want to carry that same theme and ask another question. So, all right, let's say we are putting our faith, putting our trust, not in humans, but in God. Let's say we're acting in faith. The next logical question is that if we're acting in faith, what are we working towards? What are we building here? What are we up to? What is then God's plan for this world? Because we know that human systems and rulers and powers will always fail us. So what does it look like then if we're following God's plan, God's system, God's kingdom to come? Right, as we always pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Well, God came to this world in Jesus, we know, to revolutionize our broken human systems, to offer us a different way and a way to establish God's kingdom on earth. Human kingdoms, empire systems, not only do they fail, but they're based in sin, right? That's what we know from the Bible. That's what we know from history. They're fundamentally broken because, in general, what humans do is we set up a system to bring power and control to a certain number of people, those in charge, those at the top, and we'll do a lot to keep those folks in charge and in power, right? But the problem is, so often in a human system, then, others are inevitably oppressed, especially those at the bottom or on the margins of a society. So we have this problem. Remember, Scripture even tells us that the prince and ruler of this world isn't God. It says it's the devil, right? Jesus tells us this in John chapter 12 very clearly. He is the prince of this world. Jesus is coming in to break in to enemy territory in that sense. Jesus is coming to establish God's kingdom in its place. That's why we have to keep praying. We keep praying for God's kingdom to come, right? It is the now and not yet of God's kingdom that we're working towards. So let's say that you accept this idea. Okay, Jesus is King. I want to work towards this. I want to bring God's kingdom on earth. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be challenges to that. There is a wonderful, he was a black pastor and evangelist named the Reverend Tom Skinner. And he gave an address some decades ago that has impacted a lot of clergy, I'd say. Some of the folks that I knew growing up. And he explains that Jesus came to change the system, so they arrested him. Which means that then once they arrested Jesus, if you recall, they actually had two revolutionaries on their hand, because now they had Barabbas, a revolutionary, and they had Jesus, right? Now, just a reminder that a revolutionary is just someone that's coming in to fix or overthrow and change a broken system, to replace it with a better one. So there's a lot of ways to do that, but Jesus was arrested, and of course we just read John's gospel, this conversation that takes place between Jesus and Pontius Pilate, right? And he's kind of pressing him, like, so are you a king? Like, what kind of kingdom are we talking about? Like, how much of a threat are you, right? And Jesus is explaining that, of course, indeed, he is a king, but his mission, he says, is to testify to what? The truth, right? The truth. So Pilate now has a decision to make. Like, what is he going to do with this Jesus guy, right? He's in this dilemma. And, of course, we know what he does, Reverend Skinner states this. So Pilate stands out before the Jews with these two prisoners, and Pilate says, you know, around this time of year, I get really generous, and I want you to know that I love you, dear Jewish people. Why, some of my best friends are Jews. Now, I'm going to release one of these two men to you. Which one do you want? You got over here Barabbas, and over here you got Jesus of Nazareth. So it wasn't a question of whether or not there was going to be a revolution. The question was which kind of revolution. Pilate went on, Barabbas has been burning the system down, right? He's killing people. You want him? Over here, I got Jesus who claims to be the Son of God. I've interrogated him and I can tell that he's just somebody who's raising some dead people. He's made some blind people to see. He's brought some deaf people to be able to hear. He's fed a few thousand people. I mean, which one should I release? Jesus or Barabbas? And with one voice, of course, they cry, what? Barabbas. Why do humans want Barabbas? It's simple. If you let Barabbas go, you can always stop him. You can always stop Barabbas's kind of revolution. The most Barabbas could do is go out and round up another bunch of guerrillas and start another riot. And you could always stop him. You can always roll in a tank or call in the National Guard and put him down. Right? You can always stop revolutionaries like Barabbas. But how do you stop Jesus? When they nailed him to a cross, he writes, they did not realize that in nailing him to the cross, they were putting up on that cross the sinful nature of all humanity. Jesus Christ nailed to the cross was more than a political radical. He was God's answer to the human dilemma. And on that cross, Christ was bearing my sins in his own body. He was proclaiming my liberation, our liberation on that cross. He shed his blood to cleanse us of sin and to set us free. And then they buried him, rolled a stone over the grave, wiped their hands and says, well, there's one social radical we won't have to deal with anymore. 3 days later, Jesus Christ pulled off what might be called the greatest political coup of all time. He got up out of the grave. And when he rose from the dead, the Bible now calls him the second man, the new man, the leader of a new creation, a Christ who has overthrown the existing order and established a new order that will not be built on humankind. Keep in mind, friends, again, that all systems are doomed to destruction. All human systems will crumble until finally only God's kingdom, God's righteousness will prevail. You'll never be truly radical until you become part of that new order. And then you can go out into the world, a world that is enslaved, a world that is filled with hunger and poverty and racism and all those things that are the work of the devil, and you can proclaim real liberation to the captives. You can preach sight to the blind. You can set at liberty them that are bruised. You can go into the world and tell all that are bound, mentally, spiritually, and physically, your liberator has come. Tim Keller comments on this and says, every other revolution put new people in power. But Jesus says, I'm going to put a new attitude toward power in power. Every other revolution destroyed their enemies. This revolution comes into position through the forgiveness of enemies. And therefore, Jesus' revolution can't be stopped by killing him. All you did was further it. So, my friends, we have been invited to join the Jesus revolution on this Christ the King Sunday. Because it's still ongoing. The enemy is still at work in this world, and human systems continue to mislead and oppress. We are invited to work with Jesus, to bring God's truth, God's love and faith, to revolutionize our hearts and the hearts of all people, to bring healing and liberation to a hurting and divided world. To work for a kingdom that frees us from all human systems and bondage and from the power of sin that enslaves us. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote in 1945, battles are won not with weapons, but with God. They are won when the way leads to the cross. Jesus is a really different kind of king. Different kind of leader, different kind of revolutionary and ruler. And God's kingdom is nothing like the earthly human kingdoms and systems. It is a kingdom that leads to the cross and to sacrificial love and service for others. Will you commit yourself in faith today on this Christ the King Sunday? To love and to serve and to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and King. To reject the fallen systems and kingdoms of this world. And to work for Christ's kingdom. If so, say, I will with God's help. I will with God's help. Thanks be to God, our King.